Welcome to day 256 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland from Hidden with Christ Ministries, and today I'm so excited as we are going to begin the reading of the book of Daniel. Of all the amazing characters that we read about in the Bible, Daniel stands out in a magnificent way among them as one of the greatest and godliest men that we find to read about in the 66 books of the Bible. Truly, Daniel is one of my personal favorite Bible characters because of his amazing integrity, dedication to the Lord, to the point that he would rather face death than compromise his commitment to God. Such a powerful example of his personal life of integrity and spirit of excellence that we will find as we read through the 12 chapters of the book of Daniel. So it's going to take us 4 days to go through the book of Daniel, but I believe you'll enjoy every single day because we will mine some serious gold out of these chapters. And I believe that you will just receive something very priceless from this particular section of scripture. We are going to find that Daniel's character is demonstrated over and over again as being so filled with integrity, filled with dedication to the Lord, filled with the spirit of excellence, and being a man who can hear from heaven, hear the word of the Lord, receive visions and revelation and discernment that is absolutely heavenly. And it is very, very powerful and speaks to our lives today on many, many accounts. Just a little bit of history about Daniel himself. Daniel was among the very first captives that were taken from Judah into Babylon. And it was at the time that Nebuchadnezzar, who was actually the son of the king, was leading the charge in besieging Jerusalem, and he was going to bring back some of captives from Israel, and he was especially looking for some very fine specimens of young men who could be trained in all the wisdom of the Babylonians. Now, it's important to understand that Babylon was one of the leaders in the world at that time in the sciences. And in fact, you could say we owe to the Babylonians a debt, so to speak, in terms of things that they brought to the table in terms of sciences. One of them especially was the area of information that they were able to glean about the lunar and solar cycles, and also the paths of the planets. They are also the ones that are attributed to have named the constellations that we know today as the constellations of the zodiac. And imagine, they were also experts in mathematics and metallurgy and many other areas, but especially strong in the area of astronomy. Now, all of those sciences were really advanced through the Babylonians, and no doubt Daniel and his companions who were brought into the king's court and educated for 3 years in the sciences of the Babylonians were educated in these areas. So it's interesting to note that Nebuchadnezzar, who became king actually during the time he was besieging Jerusalem, his father died, who was the actual king, and he quickly assumed his throne. He went back to Babylon and left his generals to finish up the job and escort the captives back to Babylon. So when Daniel and his companions arrived in Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar was now on the throne. And as history tells us, Nebuchadnezzar was one of the most effective leaders of the known world at that time. And he was very wise in that one area. No doubt he was following the lead of his father to actually take from among the best and the brightest of the nation that they conquered and train them in their academic areas of expertise so that they could later become essentially counselors to the king. So they were very wise in this practice, taking the brightest of every nation that they conquered. And in that, when they conquered Judah and Jerusalem, and Daniel and Meshach and Shadrach and Abednego and whoever else was involved, they are not named, that were brought back and were trained, they became ones who served in the king's court. So that's the background of Daniel. That's how he ended up in Babylon. And as you will see, he ends up serving multiple kings because of his phenomenal wisdom and essentially anointing from God to serve in a Babylonian king's court. So his life can speak to us today. Many people, many very outstanding Christians, are perhaps serving an employer who is not a believer. Maybe they're serving in a government that does not honor God in any possible way, and they may be the only Christian in that setting. It's a story, or you could say it's an example for us in the Bible of how to walk a walk of integrity and a relationship with God in the midst of a pagan world and people with a pagan worldview. So I believe you're going to really glean a lot as we go through the book of Daniel. So today we're going to begin reading Daniel chapter 1 from the New American Standard Bible, and we will begin at verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them, from the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king." But Daniel said to the overseer, whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days, and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence, and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see." So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine they were to drink and kept giving them vegetables. As for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Then, at the end of the days which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. Chapter 2. Now, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. Then the king gave orders to call in the magicians, the conjurers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came in and stood before the king. The king said to them, "I had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to understand the dream." Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell the dream to your servants, and we will declare the interpretation." The king replied to the Chaldeans, "The command from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you will be torn limb from limb, and your houses will be made a rubbish heap. But if you declare the dream and its interpretation, you will receive from me gifts and a reward and great honor. Therefore, declare to me the dream and its interpretation." They answered a second time and said, "Let the king tell the dream to his servants, and we will declare the interpretation." The king replied, "I know for certain that you are bargaining for time, inasmuch as you have seen that the command from me is firm, that if you do not make the dream known to me, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed together to speak lying and corrupt words before me until the situation is changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, that I may know that you can declare to me its interpretation." The Chaldeans answered the king and said, "There is not a man on earth who could declare the matter for the king, inasmuch as no great king or ruler has ever asked anything like this of any magician, conjurer, or Chaldean. Moreover, the thing which the king demands is difficult, and there is no one else who could declare it to the king except gods, whose dwelling place is not with mortal flesh." Because of this, the king became indignant and very furious, and gave orders to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they looked for Daniel and his friends to kill them. Then Daniel replied with discretion and discernment to Arioch, the captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He said to Arioch, the king's commander, "For what reason is the decree from the king so urgent?" Then Arioch informed Daniel about the matter. So Daniel went in and requested of the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, about the matter, so that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel said, "Let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. It is he who changes the times and the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now, you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter." Therefore, Daniel went in to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and spoke to him as follows: "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me into the king's presence, and I will declare the interpretation to the king." Then Arioch hurriedly brought Daniel into the king's presence and spoke to him as follows: "I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king." The king said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, "Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?" Daniel answered before the king and said, "As for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. However, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while on your bed. As for you, O king, while on your bed, your thoughts turn to what would take place in the future, and he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what will take place. But as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me more than in any other living man, but for the purpose of making the interpretation known to the king, that you may understand the thoughts of your mind. You, O king, were looking, and behold, there was a single great statue. That statue, which was large and of extraordinary splendor, was standing in front of you, and its appearance was awesome. The head of that statue was made of fine gold, its breast and its arms of silver, its belly and its thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You continued looking until a stone was cut out without hands, and it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and crushed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed all at the same time and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them was found. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream. Now we will tell its interpretation before the king. You, O king, are the King of Kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, the strength, and the glory. And wherever the sons of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, or the birds of the sky, he has given them into your hand, and has caused you to rule over them all. You are the head of gold. After you, there will arise another kingdom, inferior to you. Then another third kingdom of bronze, which will rule over all the earth. Then there will be a fourth kingdom, as strong as iron. Inasmuch as iron crushes and shatters all things, so, like iron, that breaks in pieces, it will crush and break all these in pieces. In that you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it will be a divided kingdom, but it will have in it the toughness of iron, inasmuch as you saw the iron mixed with common clay. As the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of pottery, so some of the kingdom will be strong and part of it will be brittle. And in that you saw the iron mixed with common clay, they will combine with one another in the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, even as iron does not combine with pottery. In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will itself endure forever. Inasmuch as you saw that a stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it crushed the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will take place in the future. So the dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and did homage to Daniel and gave orders to present to him an offering and fragrant incense. The king answered Daniel and said, "Surely your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, since you have been able to reveal this mystery." Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel made request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the administration of the province of Babylon while Daniel was at the king's court. Chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, the height of which was 60 cubits, and its width 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent word to assemble the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces were assembled for the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "To you the command is given, O peoples, nations, and men of every language, that at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire." Therefore, at that time, when all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. For this reason, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews. They responded and said to Nebuchadnezzar the king, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music is to fall down and worship the golden image. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire." There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then these men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. He commanded certain valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. Then these men were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, and their other clothes, and were cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. For this reason, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew those men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded and stood up in haste. He said to his high officials, "Was it not 3 men we cast, bound, into the midst of the fire?" They replied to the king, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see 4 men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire. He responded and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. The satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's high officials gathered around and saw, in regard to these men, that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their head singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who put their trust in him, violating the king's command and yielded up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses reduced to a rubbish heap, inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way." Then the king caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. In the very first chapter that we read, we see Daniel's determination to be a man of integrity in the midst of a very pagan situation where he's surrounded by a culture of unbelievers. And yet he decides in his own heart that he is not going to participate in the uncleanness that everybody else in that group participates in. Now imagine the peer pressure. He's chosen with all these other young men from other conquered nations and maybe some also from Babylon, where they are in the elite group that is going to be prepared, educated, nurtured for leadership in the king's court. And the very first thing that he finds out is that they're going to be given their allotment of food, that the king provides choice food and wine. And in verse 8 of the first chapter, it says, "But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank." First thing. Now that alone could have gotten him thrown in prison or killed for simply violating the king's orders. But he had such wisdom and such grace and such a spirit of excellence and about him that he sought permission from the commander that he might not defile himself, and God granted him favor and compassion in the sight of the commander of the officials. Why was Daniel determined not to defile himself? He was obviously doing his very best to adhere to the laws of God, which had been given to the Jews, and they had very specific dietary laws, and they included not eating unclean meats, which obviously pork was on that list, among other meats. And Daniel was determined he was not going to defile himself with the king's choice food, so he wouldn't participate. He was not going to violate his conscience just to go along with the crowd. He, even if it meant his head, even if it meant he loses his life to follow God, he was willing. But he had such wisdom that he knew how to speak with wisdom and grace, and not with arrogance or an attitude or anything, but he knew how to speak in a way that enabled the Lord to grant him such favor with the people who were in charge of him that they gave him an opportunity to prove that the special diet that he was requesting was actually going to be a greater benefit than the king's food. And so, as we heard the story, they ate what they asked for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their appearance seemed better than everyone else. Now, there had to be some supernatural element involved, because most likely 10 days would not be a sufficient number of days for that diet to show a specific change in their appearance. But the Lord blessed it, and they were able to demonstrate that their health was even better than their companions who ate the king's choice food. But the point that is so critical for us to capture with this example from Daniel's life is that he was determined, though he was in the midst of a situation with unbelievers, just like you may be in your workplace, that he was not going to go along with the crowd just to have people not think badly of him, or not to particularly look different than everyone else, or for whatever reason, he was not going to have any fear of man. He would prefer to trust in the Lord. And you know, Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted." And that is exactly what happened with Daniel. He had no fear of man. He didn't have a fear of being killed or punished by the king or anything else. He had no fear of man. He had more fear of God than he ever had fear of man. And the result was, trusting in the Lord, he ended up being exalted. That is exactly what happened according to that promise from Proverbs 29:25. So that's the first thing we see about Daniel's outstanding and excellent spirit of integrity that he demonstrated from his youth, dedicated to the Lord. And a spirit of integrity was very predominant in Daniel's character. Then the second thing that I want to point out to you about Daniel was demonstrated in the second chapter. And this was the story where the king forgot his dream, calls in the Chaldeans, who were the most learned among all the Babylonians. And they were among this group of counselors, which included magicians and sorcerers, and these Chaldeans, who are, you could say, the academic elite. And they came in and stood before the king, and they told him, "Well, just tell us the dream and we'll interpret it for you." And the king was wise enough to figure out, they're just stalling for time. They don't have a clue about anything. I'm just going to kill all you people because you're just deceiving me and everyone else. He got frustrated with them very quickly, and he gave an order that they should just all be slain by his commanders, because he was sick and tired of their lying and their deceiving that was not producing anything for him. But Daniel, again, with the wisdom of God and the favor that was on his life, approached the king and spoke to him, requesting that he would be given a stay of execution in order that he might go and inquire of God and get the answer the king was looking for. Well, he had such favor that obviously the Chaldeans, who were stalling for time, did not have. He had such favor with the king that the king granted him his request. And what did he do? He went and got his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The four of them united in prayer. So look how he handled extraordinary pressure from work. This is pressure that none of us ever have in our workplace, where you're performance, if it is not up to standards, will result in your death. That is what they were, the kind of pressure they were under. They went to prayer, and we know that there was one night of prayer, and that Daniel received from the Lord the revelation in a night vision. So we know that God spoke to him in his dream and gave him the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and then the interpretation of this very mystical dream. It was quite a mystical dream. This picture of this statue that was made of gold and silver and iron and bronze and clay, and all this very detailed interpretation that followed. And it had to do with the future, and I don't have time to go into what great scholars have come up with, that it was literally a recitation of coming world history, that the Bible scholars have matched up the kingdoms that were coming, including Egypt and Greece and Rome and the different empires, and they match up perfectly with this dream of Nebuchadnezzar's. But the point that I want to bring to your attention is this character quality of Daniel's, that when he's faced with incredible pressure, he goes to prayer. And because of his faithfulness to the Lord, he is given divine revelation. And it, of course, saves his life and saves the lives of his companions. But Daniel, in his great compassion, pleaded for the lives of even the magicians and the diviners and the Chaldeans and the other wise men. And you heard the result of his revelation as he presented it to the king, that he impressed the king so deeply that he promoted him and found his answer to be beyond anything that he could have ever imagined. So Daniel's character is so profoundly integrous, God-fearing, and his walk with God was so close that he was given these divine revelations, which were very, very profound. And then in chapter 3, we have the most astonishing story, that of the three Hebrew children, as they've been referred to, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refusing to bow down to the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar set up and being thrown into the fiery furnace that was heated 7 times hotter than normal because their refusal to obey the king's command made Nebuchadnezzar so furious that he responded with great wrath and heated that furnace even hotter than normal. Now you may wonder why Daniel wasn't involved in that particular story, but it must have been that he was not around at the time they did this dedication, and perhaps the king was not there either, and the two of them were together somewhere, because first of all, we know from Daniel's character throughout the whole book of Daniel that he would have never bowed to any image, and so he must not have been present at that event. And secondly, the king had to be told by the other Chaldeans that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow down. So had he been at the event, he would have seen it for himself if there were three guys that weren't bowing down when the entire place is bowing down. He would have known it, but it shows us that he had to be told at a later time that they didn't bow down at that particular event. So most likely the king and his top advisor Daniel were elsewhere at the time of this occurrence. But the beauty of this story of the three Hebrew children being thrown into the fiery furnace is the profound truth that God honors those who honor him, and God honors faith. And if you recall from that exchange between Nebuchadnezzar and those three young men, their answer to him when he gave them the option, just go ahead and bow down right now and we'll just forget the whole deal and forget this ever happened, but if you don't, I'm casting you into the fire. Their answer was so beautiful. It was so filled with faith. It was so confident in their God. Their response was, "Oh Nebuchadnezzar, we don't even need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand. But even if he doesn't, we are not going to bow down." Now that is profound faith. They had trust in God that he was fully able to deliver them. But even if he didn't do it, they were still trusting God. That is a word for us today. God is able to deliver you. He is powerful. He wants to deliver you. If you will stand with God, he will stand with you. That appearance in the midst of the fire of the fourth man. Remember, three of them were thrown in, and Nebuchadnezzar was astonished when suddenly he saw four men walking around freely, not bound. They were thrown on the floor, bound in ropes. There they were, standing, walking around with a fourth man. Who was that fourth man? Most Bible scholars, and I will say I agree with this, that fourth man was none other than a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. It's so excellent to me that Nebuchadnezzar said, "The appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods." There is no other son of God but Christ himself. Christ will stand with you if you will stand with him. That is the message of the fiery furnace. God will stand with you. Stand with Him. He will never disappoint you. That's all for today. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow for more from this exciting book of Daniel. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook and like us on Facebook. And also, if you would like to give us a testimony from your experience with My Everyday Bible, I would love to hear from you. In fact, next month we're going to be in our next magazine, Victory Magazine, we're going to be doing an article about My Everyday Bible, and I would love to have your testimony to print in that magazine. You can email me at Rita, R-I-T-A, at myeverydaybible.com. So I would love to hear from you. Please email me, Rita, at myeverydaybible.com. And if you can help support us so that we can continue with our broadcast, it does cost money to keep our app in all the app stores, and we'd like to expand it actually, and that costs money as well. So we would love to have any support. One-time support would be great, or if you could even send $5 a month to help us, or $10, whatever, we will be very, very blessed. So you can just click on the donate button on your app on your smartphone, or if you're listening on the web, there on our website of hiddenwithchrist.com, you can click on the donate button, and there's a section for support of My Everyday Bible. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Don't forget to email me, Rita, at myeverydaybible.com. God bless you. Have a great week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.